On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bogeyman Golf Podcast, hosted by Michael and Johnny. I'm flying solo on the pod this week, so this episode is going to be a little bit different and a little bit shorter than usual, but I still wanted to get an episode out to you guys and just give you an update and also say thank you just for all the support off of the AIG announcement that we had last week. The amount of people that got in touch with us to say that they're really excited for us and for what we can do. Covering a little bit more of amateur golf, working with guys like Gary Murphy, Irish Golfer Magazine, and then obviously all the players as well. I'm trying to bring more coverage for Irish amateur golf to the fore. Those guys do some really good stuff, and it's just great to be able to work with them and work with AIG to just give a little bit more coverage. It's been a busy couple of weeks, I guess, for golf in Ireland. The biggest news is that, as you guys already know, this AIG announcement. So that's going to mean bringing you an additional 24 podcasts over the next 12 months. So we generally do 50 podcasts throughout 12 months. These additional 24 podcasts over the next 12 months are going to bring our total to 74 podcasts. Over the year, which is not an insignificant amount of podcasts. These will mostly be feature interview style podcasts where I really want to dive into the deep end with our guests and with people and talk to them about what drives them, why they play and why they love amateur golf, and get to know these guests kind of just also beyond the golf course, finding out what drives them and plenty more things like that. Think like Diary of a CEO, but in the golf world. In addition, we're also going to be bringing you two special videos on our YouTube channel, the first of which I've actually already filmed. We mic'd up Keith Egan at the Laytown and Bettystown Scratch Cup last weekend for the first event of the amateur season to show the caliber of amateur golf kind of competing in Ireland week in, week out. Keith was great. He was great on camera. He was great to be mic'd up for 36 holes, and on camera for 36 holes is not like an insignificant or not an easy thing to do. So fair play to him. He played very well as well. So we're looking forward to bringing that video to you guys in the next couple of weeks. I've already started the edit on that. It looks great. We got a good day with it as well. So all that kind of, that adds to it. And Laytown, Bettystown was in really good nick because it looked lovely and it was playing very, very well apparently. And yeah, I'm looking forward to bringing that video to you. The second video is going to be a roundtable discussion with some of the previous winners of the AIG Irish Close Championship. So that'll be, we want to get a couple of different winners from a couple of different generations, bring them all around a table and just talk about what winning that amateur championship and what winning amateur championships as a whole means to them and their career. And so that'll be a really interesting discussion. Details on that's going to come to follow, and that's going to come out much closer to the Irish Close on the men's side in Dunleary. The biggest piece of the partnership is, of course, the 8 live stream broadcast, which we'll be producing from the final day at the East of Ireland Championship, the Men's and Women's Irish Close Championships, and the AIG Cups and Shields Finals. It's no secret that our long-term goal here at the Bogeyman is to build this brand into like a bit more of a golf broadcaster, covering and streaming live golf. So this is going to be a big step forward for that. We'll be live streaming from on-site at these championships, and we'll even have a couple of cameras on course following the final groups. So if you can't make it to any of these competitions, the whole point is that you'll be able to watch it. Amateur golf isn't covered on TV in Ireland for a number of reasons, and so I would really love us to step into that gap that's been left there and live stream in the final days. You know, a lot of the stuff takes a lot of money and takes a lot of crew. Like when we travel to these things, our crew is going to be like 6 people at these events. And so AIG coming on board and supporting that and being able to help us do this and do a little bit to bring amateur golf coverage to the fore a little bit more in our own way is not an insignificant investment from their side and from our side. And we're really, really excited to do this. And hopefully it's the start of us being able to do more live streaming and broadcasting of Irish amateur events as well. With that, I actually want to put a call out. Some of these interview podcasts are already being recorded, but most of them haven't been. Obviously, we're very, very early into the year, incredibly early into the season. So who would you like us to talk to and sit down with? And like the idea is that we're going to sit down with them for an hour, guts of an hour, and really get into the weeds with them. So let me know who you'd like to have on the podcast, and we'll do everything we can to get them on, whether they're players, coaches, people from Golf Ireland or amateur golf over in the States, whoever it is, let me know. We'll try to get them in. We are trying to film as many of these episodes in person as possible, just because I feel like you can really kind of get into the conversation and get kind of a bit more personal with things when you're recording a podcast in person rather than via Zoom. So we will be doing a few more Zoom podcasts, but where possible, we're going to do these in person. And then, of course, we're going to be checking in with Gary Murphy from Irish Amateur Info about 5 times throughout the year. So obviously we did the season preview there for episode 1. We're going to be talking to him ahead of the, like, probably ahead of the Amateur Championship, most likely ahead of the Palmer Cup as well, possibly just after the Women's Amateur, and then probably a season recap. It's great to have his insight. Obviously, he knows you guys, he knows the players really, really well, much more so than we do at the moment. So it's really, really good to get his insight. And Jesus, that man does a lot of mileage. He goes to every tournament. So it's great to have him on and get his input into this series as well. So episode 2 of this series is going to be going live on this Friday. So I sat down with Hugh Foley and we spoke about his struggles on and off the course over the last year, as well as his drive to get back to his very, very best in 2024, and then, who knows, potentially turn professional. The West of Ireland Amateur Championship is this week, and the qualifier is actually taking place today, so good luck to everyone competing. The one big takeaway that I had when filming with Keith Egan there on the weekend was that I would shoot 1 million over if I was to play in the West, or honestly in any kind of scratch cup. The level of quality between these guys who compete at that elite amateur level, and then even myself, who's a single figure handicap, is massive. I don't think that they get the credit that they deserve kind of widely enough, the caliber of golf that's played in Ireland every single weekend at scratch cups and amateur championships is incredibly impressive. The Irish Golf Show is returning again on April 5th and 6th to Ballyboy Airfield in Meath. We're going to be there on both the Friday and the Saturday. I was at the event last year. It was a fun event. I was filming at it. I was working at it. And it's always really interesting to see what's going to happen in the golf industry in Ireland. We're going to have a stand at the event, as I mentioned, where we're going to be selling our Bogeyman merchandise, actually. You'll be able to pick up our Bogeyman Battle Golf head cover and towel bundle for €30. That's €10 off what you can get it for online. So if you're at the event, if you're at the Irish Golf Show on the 5th and 6th of April, so if you see us and you need a new head cover, you need a new towel, come check out our stand and pick up your bundle there. If you're looking to come to the event, you can pick up your free tickets by visiting www.irishgolfshow.com/tickets. Click on book now. Then you can use the exclusive promo code Bogeyman100 to get your complimentary tickets. It's going to wipe out the ticket fee down to €0. And then you can add your friends, family to registration by clicking add more attendees, or you can just simply click complete registration. So you can get your tickets for that completely for free. If you go to irishgolfshow.com and use the coupon code Bogeyman100, you get 100% discount free tickets. So as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, this last week or so has been a busy one. The Golf Ireland Media Day took place at Carton House last week, and it was a good opportunity to talk to the team in Golf Ireland about their plans for the year and years ahead. They spoke about changes being made to the World Handicap System, as well as player pathways for aspiring professional golfers. It was an interesting chat for sure. I know the Irish Golfer magazine guys have an article that has come out from it. Brian Keogh as well, I know, has an article coming in the Sunday Indo. And Greg Allen did some great coverage from it also. The highlight of the day came really at my own expense, to be honest with you. Before the actual media press conference, we played a 9-hole scramble, members of the media and Golf Ireland staff. And I was in a group behind Neil Manship, Mary Doyle and Rona McNamara from Irish Golfer magazine. So all three of them obviously are very, very good players. We came to the 17th hole, the par 3 on the Monty. And I walked onto the tee, laid down my ball, I stood back, looked at the pin and the green, and there, standing a couple of yards off the green with his arms folded, waiting for me to hit, was Neil Manship. And I mean, like, talk about pressure. You know, Shane Lowry's coach, the high performance director for Golf Ireland, just standing there, just watching you, basically being like, come on, show me something. So, like, nervously, I let out like a, oh, here we go, before I stepped up over the golf ball. And then I hit the coldest chunk of my life into the trees, OB to the right. And it was just I mean, if there was a hole in the ground to swallow me up, I would have taken it. It was a absolute career highlight moment for me, just hitting the coldest shank of my life in front of Neil Manship. But that kind of just dilemma or that scenario just got better and better as Foylan from Golf Ireland, who was also on my team, he stood up to the tee with a little bit more pressure applied after I hit that worldy of a shot. And hilariously, he just chunked the golf ball, maybe 100 yards, maybe went 100 yards. It was still well short of the green after his shot. So I did exactly inspire him in confidence. And then the third member of our team was Jackie Hurley from RTE. So she steps up to the tee to try and save some dignity for our trio. But she didn't want to be outdone for the worst shot of the three of us and topped the golf ball impressive, like 5 yards, I'd say. So we ended up playing Foylan's golf ball. We were still obviously well short of the green at that point. We were actually well short of any of the trouble around that green with Foylan's shot. We walked away from the hole saving bogey, but we didn't manage to save any of our bride, as word very, very quickly spread that I hit that massive shank into the trees. And I'm pretty sure that was the headline from the Golf Ireland media day, to be honest. And then today was the Irish Legends Tour media golf day at Sea Point Golf Links with Paul McGinley. Paul spoke for a while, he took some questions, and I'd say this event is absolutely one of my favourites. We were very lucky last year, Michael and I got to play in the Pro-Am and the actual tournament last year, which was just, it was just so special. We've got a video up on our YouTube channel from that event as well. It's just, it was so much fun. And McGinley has been announced as an ambassador for the Legends Tour. So he's actually going to be playing at a number of the events this season. Unfortunately, he's not going to be at the Irish Legends Tour event, as he has a charitable event, which he organized a couple of years ago for that exact same date. So it's conflicting. So there's no way he can, you know, pull out of that one, because he's obviously running that charity event. But I'd say this is still a great chance to come and see some of the legends of the game up close and personal. Last year, we spoke for the guts of an hour with US Open winner Michael Campbell for the podcast. And just that kind of access that you just can't get anywhere else. And it's even the same for spectators. You can get a 4-day ticket for €25 at the moment. And that gives you access to the Celebrity Pro-Am Day as well as the 3 tournament days. And the Celebrity Pro-Am Day is so much fun. There's like the likes of Teddy Sheringham was there, James Nesbitt, loads of other guys, like bunch of the Westlife guys were all there. If you're into music, there's lots of sports stars, like TV, movie stars are all there. It's really, really good fun, and it's great crack. It's just such a unique event. And actually today I spoke with Peter Finnan from Irish Golfer magazine about the Irish Legends Tour and about this event in particular and why this event is worth your time. So here's that chat here now. Pete, we're here at Sea Point Golf Links for the media day for the Irish Legends Tour event. It's a wet and blustery, windy grey day. Not what you want for a media and photo side of things, but it's a fun day out.
I don't envy you going out to play that golf course.
No, yeah, it's a... look, got to be done. Any excuse for a round of golf, I'm gonna take it. What's kind of the plan for today? What's, for people that don't go to these media events, what can we expect, or what can they expect from an event like this?
It just gives you, like, these type of events give you a general flavor of what's to come for the event itself, a little bit of an insight into the sponsors, what the sponsors are looking to get from the event. Like, they've announced OFX as the new sponsors of the event, and then you get some insight from the player side of things, and obviously with Paul McGinley there inside as well, going through that. So yeah, it gives you a nice flavor of a few storylines to actually bleed into what you're doing in my day in day out job anyway of planning that sort of coverage and enticing people along to a serious venue like Sea Point, to an event that's only grown from strength to strength with the Irish Legends.
And it's a venue that's gotten stronger and stronger over the last couple of years as well, with the Carr Group coming on. They put a lot of investment into the course. What does an event like this mean to A, the Carr Group, but then B, the golf club here?
It's huge. It is huge, and it can't be understated. And I know it was questions at the top table were posed there about the importance of the Legends Tour, the importance of seniors golf, but obviously the importance as well of hosting these big events in Ireland. Like, we're blessed on this island with, when you leave Dublin Airport, like, you can turn right and you can head up this direction and you have that whole East Coast right up to the Northeast Coast of unbelievable golf, or you can turn left and you can go down that. And that's the battle on this island, is always, like, Paul McGinley spoke in there about his favourites, not the best golf courses, his favourites. And he spoke about Baltrae and places like that being his favourites and why. And Sea Point is fast becoming a favorite of many as well. Like this, like what they have done to this, you can call it a resort nearly at this stage, what they have done to the golf course, to the clubhouse, to the vision of what they're trying to do here. It's what they've done in such a short period of time throughout COVID has been off the charts.
And so Paul McGinley is, he was announced as well as an ambassador for the Legends Tour and for this event. He won't be able to make it to this event this year. What does that ambassadorship include, I guess, for people?
It's the growth of, I think Paul, from a strategic point of view, is going to be a great asset to the Legends Tour, because it's the growth of, and the vision. He's obviously got like 15 years of board experience with DP World Tour, with strategy, partnerships, what angles to go, what directions to go. And he knows the importance of the overall golf ecosystem, you know. It's areas that have been done to death over the last number of years of that ecosystem, how broken it is, how relevant it is, how it needs fixing in certain areas. And Paul has always been an advocate of a three-pronged system in European golf, be it the DP World Tour, the Challenge Tour, and where the Legends Tour fits in on that. And the Legends Tour is hugely important. I literally just spoke to Paul about it a few minutes ago on the importance of guys that have given so much to European golf down through the years and literally put their careers into European Tour golf. And the same guys in the PGA Tour have pensions and have pension funds and have they're well looked after under retirement age. The Europeans that made the Ryder Cup and made the European Tour what it is today don't have that safety net, never had that safety net. And that's what the Legends Tour is. It's part of the golf ecosystem to really reward these guys and let them play competitive golf for good prize funds, cover their costs, even if they're not playing too well, and maintain that sort of, it's just to keep that end of the ecosystem and thank these guys that have done so well to get the European Tour to where it is and where it was.
Crudely, it's a retirement plan and a pension plan for those players. But they're still working for it and they're still playing because they're still competitive players at the same time.
It's still a great product. Like, yeah. These are household names, and you would argue, you know, you would come out and you would see the like of, you know, guys that are just turning, like Rafael Jacquelin and stuff like that, or Miguel Angel Jimenez, Woozy. You could list off the name, like household names, and you would nearly argue a point that coming along to a Legends Tour event like this and seeing guys that you've grown up playing that are icons of the game, you probably have more in common with them than going to the Irish Open up the road in Royal County Down this year.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see some headline groups in that tournament, but predominantly on what's become the case on the DP World Tour, it's, you know, half the field would be unrecognizable to a lot of punters that just rock up to a golf tournament. Whereas you come to a Legends event, I'd say you know 80% of the players.
For sure. And particularly when it comes to like the Irish Legend, each event is hosted, which is great. So from the Irish side, Roddy Carr and Des Smith are our back hosts. Yeah. And they did a great job last year. We want to talk about Legends. Those guys are local Legends from like a golfing perspective. Des, obviously, he designed this course and he had a very, very big hand in the promotion of the event this year. As well as Roddy, he's got tentacles in every aspect of this, both from the club side and from hosting. How important are people like that and like Roddy Carr and Des Smith to the success of an event like this?
Those two guys just get what this tournament means, and they, you know, they sort of epitomize what the planning, the partnerships, the everything that goes into an event like this, the time that they give behind the scenes to make an event like this work. Like, we're gone from a like 200 grand tournament to a 300 grand tournament to now a 400 grand tournament. Like, that's massive.
Yeah.
In the overall system of seniors golf, like €400,000 for an event.
That's what the DP World Tour purse was for a little bit during COVID.
Like, exactly.
Not an insignificant amount of money by any
stretch. It's massive. And that is all to do with the vision of guys like Des, guys like Roddy and Marty in the overall car group, and what they have presented to the Legends Tour and the DP World Tour as a package like this that enticed them to come in and get involved in a tournament like this at a venue like this.
You talked about the support that the DP World Tour gives to the Legends Tour here like this. A big part of that is to do with the strategic alliance between the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour and the initial investment that's been put into that. We see co-sanctioned events between DP World Tour and PGA Tour. are we going to see a world where we're going to have Champions Tour, Legends Tour events, aside from obviously they all come together for the majors? Are we going to see co-sanctioned events, or would you like to?
I think we will, but it's a long, long way away. Okay. And I've just come out, like I said, of a one-on-one with Paul, and I asked him that question.
Oh, and that's reassuring for me, my journalism chops.
It's very, very far away. And the reasons it's very, very far away is because, like, you look at the Legends Tour. So the Legends Tour format is unlike stuff that you would see in general. It's more of a pro-am format. So there's 80 players they play in. And it's sort of the feeder system of the Legends Tour compared to the feeder system of the PGA Champions Tour in the States are totally different. That they can fit a lot more players in the States. Mm. We can only fit 80 this side. And you think about guys every year, there's probably 10 or 12 guys hitting their 50s that have done a lot for European Tour golf down throughout the years that are now eligible. Mm. And these are the reasons why at the bottom end of the Legends Tour as well, like, you go to Q School, you go to try and qualify. And like only a few weeks ago, David Higgins and guys like that went over to try and qualify. Unsuccessful. And not because they're not up to that standard, it's because there's literally only five cards to play for to get onto the Legends Tour, because it's such a limited number and there's so many people to look after. That's where they'll come into difficulties. There should be more access points. I think where we'll see that bleed in and that sort of cross-board thinking of the both senior tours working together will be more of access into the major championships.
Okay.
Like, there should be a lot more access for Legends Tour players into the major seniors, senior majors.
Kind of like qualifying events.
Yeah, but just automatic exemptions based on winning tournaments or based on being where you are in the order of merit.
Okay.
There just should be a lot more. And that's one thing that Paul did hit on, was those type of partnerships. They're there, but they're a good bit away.
Okay, very good. You mentioned how that this is kind of a pro-am format. I was very lucky I got to play in this event last year in the 3 days. Great fun. The experience of an event like this is also totally different to the Women's Irish Open or even the Men's Irish Open, where you're very far removed from the players. Realistically, you're outside the ropes. Whereas here, yeah, it's still rope-lined, but the access that you can get to the players, and if you're lucky enough to be playing in an event like this, how close you can get to, like, major winners, Ryder Cup stars. It's an experience unlike anything else, really, in Ireland.
Yeah, and what you can learn from that, even if you're not playing it, even just outside the ropes, it's not all fully roped off. You can get close into players. Getting close to these guys, literally competing like that, like legends of the game, seeing how they get from A to B to C and how they work, how their mind works, the decision they make, how they plot their way around the links course like this. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Anyone that wants to get better at golf, like, we can all watch guys bomb and gouge a 360 flick, driving a flick into things. You learn so much more. You go and watch, like you're saying, people on the LET, blind or trade. You go to Carton House this year. You're at Dromoland last year, looking at those women and how they get it around the golf course and how they plot their way. It's so strategic, and it's the exact same in the Legends Tour, that guys that might not have the same length, but upstairs is still as sharp as ever, and it's so good to watch. And even if you're not playing, like I said, you get a chance to experience that, get up so close and see these guys, see how they do it. And like that, that's probably the easiest low-hanging fruit for anybody to improve their own golf game, no matter what level you're at, be a 20 handicapper or 2 handicapper or a plus player, to see how an ex-professional at the height of their game now playing like Legends Tour over 50s golf, to see how their mind still gets the ball around. They're still shooting like in their sleep games, like rounds in their mid 60s, low 60s. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it's an event that I can't recommend enough to get out and to watch. You can get your 4-day ticket pass for like £25 as well. Like, it's a very affordable weekend or a week out. Obviously, the final day is on the Saturday, so like, it's £15 at the moment for a final day ticket. Like, it's a fun day out for the family. It's
you bring the kids along, exactly. Yeah, even if you have kids, like, you can come up here. There's so much to do, stuff on site. Like, this probably, we're in June this year. There'll be any amount of ice cream vans to keep them busy. So it'll be it's great. It really is. It's a proper family tournament experience, is the vibe that I've got from over the last few years. And yeah, really, really looking forward to it.
From one view and experience to another, you're on your way over to Augusta in the next few weeks.
I am indeed.
Looking forward to that?
Yeah, I can't wait. No, it'll be good.
You're a martyr, Peter. You're a martyr.
It's always, yeah, it's always the pinnacle of the season to get over and see that, and it's all the hype train is starting to build up already. And
will the clubs come with you? Are you going to enter into the media lottery?
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to. If you have a dice, you roll it.
You played Augusta before, haven't you?
Yeah.
What's it like? Yeah, I mean, like,
it's like playing a computer game. It's frightening. No, it really. Yeah, I was lucky enough in 2017. It was actually my first year going across to cover it, and got pulled out of the media ballot. 20 names pull out of a hat. You get to play the Monday after. They leave Sunday pins, all that sort of stuff. It was an unbelievable outer body experience standing on the first tee and snap hooking it onto the ninth, chipping it out and trying to get up and down for par.
Right. So, I'm so jealous. That's just such your first time as well.
That was my first time. Yeah, yeah. And then I ended up that. No, it was unbelievable. So yeah, you arrive there and you just the scale of the whole property. You just can't. And I'm like, it's like everything is so familiar. No matter, like, anyone that's into golf grew up watching, you know where the pins are, you know where the pin is on. Like, there's very few pins change on the Sunday, so you know what to expect. You know where it is on two, you know where it's going to be on three, four, seven. Yeah. Like, they put some tricky ones in, like, but it's crazy. And then to be lucky enough to sort of walk in and experiment on different shots that you've seen, like, you know, first thing, we get to the 16 tee box. It's one thing that always sticks out to me. So there's four of us playing. You get caddies from the club, and everyone wants to skim balls from the front of 16. And I say to my caddy, I said, I couldn't be arsed skimming balls here. Take me down to where Tiger Woods hit that chip, and show me exactly, because the pin is in exactly the same spot. Let me do it. And drop it. He said, right, like, they watch for this sort of stuff. You're allowed 2-3 balls. That's it. Not a chance. I got closer off the tee. Like, I actually hit a really good tee shot, and up to the right, it came down the hill and ends in a 4 or 5 foot. Not a chance from where Tiger was could you get close. Like, it's frightening when you see the level of difficulty that these guys put up with on tournaments like that, on when it's set up for a championship like the Masters. It's just scary.
Different class.
Yeah, it is scary. Yeah.
Listen, we'll do a proper kind of Masters catch up either before or after, probably after, once you've had a few more feels and walked around it, maybe won the ballot again and got to play the course one more time. But thanks for joining me. The Legends Tour event is going to be, it's going to be one of the highlights of the year from both of our sides, I think.
Perfect. No, thanks, Johnny. And thanks for everything you do. The Bogeyman's great. I actually listen to it a lot, so.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Cheers.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it. If you could do me a favor and subscribe to The Bogeyman on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast, and then if you could rate the podcast as well, that would be a really big help. As I mentioned earlier, episode 2 of our series with AIG goes live on Friday, and I sat down with Hugh Foley, spoke to him about his struggles on and off the course, as well as his drive to get back to his absolute best in 2024, which I am sure he will. Until then, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute the millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.